Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save big money
at Menards. Chase Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason with you at Bridgestone Arena. Predators taking on the Anaheim Ducks tonight. Yes, if you've missed it, they are playing tonight here at Bridgestone Arena. They've done a lot of work over the last 3 or 4 days to get this building ready to go. And I got to tell you, considering what happened here early Friday morning, The old gal looks good because they've done a good job cleaning up around Bridgestone Arena after incurring such a devastating water main break. The push water on the main concourse and event levels at Bridgestone Arena for more than 2 hours Friday. We are pleased to be opening the arena for tonight's game against the Anaheim Ducks and Friday's Maren Morris concert. Puck drop at 7. We'll have pregame for you here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game starting at 6. The doors will open at 5:30. But ready to go. Full building restoration, though, going to take a little while. But things that you see that you'll be around 100%. For tonight's game. David Poile just walked by, waved at us. He's going to be back here in just a few minutes at 11:15. We'll talk to him. But I told you I had a question about football in general. The screen pass. Now, when I'm an offensive coordinator on Madden, I love running the screen. I love screen passes because you can so many times break one for a big gain. But I see teams use them sparingly, and I think I know why. But what is it that makes the screen so effective for an offense?
I think one is an effective running game. You got to have an effective running game in order to run a screen play. And then that passing game has to be, clicking as well, because what happens is, when you take that center exchange, everybody sets up as if it's a deep pass. So you have to have those guys outside that can make plays. And this is why you're starting to see it a little bit more, I think, and why you're going to see it even more moving forward is because of Treylon Burks.
Yeah.
Now Treylon Burks is getting those big chunks down the field. Now defenses, when Ryan Tannehill backs up or he takes that snap and he's already in shotgun, now when Treylon runs a 9 or post route, those safeties and those, everybody has to pay attention. Now when Chig runs across the field as if he's running a drag or an over, those linebackers have to step and guard that guy's crossing. Well, what happens is I got everybody going one way. I'm taking that screenplay. See, I'm having everybody go to the left. That screenplay is going to be to the right. So I'm, as a quarterback, I'm looking downfield. Everybody has to sail pass. Then dump it to the running back has to sail pass, meaning he has to be in a pro set. He has to be in a blocking stance.
Yeah.
I'm waiting on somebody to block. Or if somebody does come, I got to engage and disengage very quickly or hold it long enough to where he thinks that this is a pass and then throw him away and get – you got to have good placement behind the lineman. If you don't have good placement behind a lineman, if there's not room or –
that's what'll blow
space behind the offensive lineman, it's going to get blown up.
Yeah.
It's if the offensive linemen are too far down the field or they hadn't gotten over fast enough, that whole play is doomed, basically. So those guys up front, those five guys up front, must sail pass, and it's almost like a three count. In your head, you're counting one Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi, and then you're getting out to the right or the left. But you got to sell it as a pass play, and the quarterback has to sell it as a pass play as well.
Is the screen pass maybe the most predictable, though, for an offense? If you know you're running the ball well and you see a team, and especially, you see it a lot if it's, third and long.
Uh-huh.
You know, that like you're going to see a draw, a running back, a draw play or a screen, is that one of the most predictable plays of your defense?
I guess it just depends. It depends on, how much do they run screen plays? What formation do they like to run it out of, a certain formation all the time? Well, if that's the case, then I could pick up keys to what they're doing from a defensive standpoint. That's why watching film like intently, like with purpose, means a lot, especially for defensive players, because they got to make sure they know what's going on at all times. Whatever little tip they get, they got to go with it. You got to sell it as a pass play. You get a play action to the running back. You look downfield. Everybody's thinking now pass. Those linebackers are running. And the only people that can really mess up the play is the defensive lineman. So you got to be able to hold them long enough. And that running back has to get space away from those defensive guys. And at a point or a position, there's a space on the field for screens that you go over all week throughout practice. And if you're not in that space, it makes it hard for those linemen when they have to pull, and get out the block for you. If you're too far wide, then those offensive linemen are not going to get out there because it's not a wide receiver screen. If you're too far in, then you may get blown up, or you may get hit, by the defensive guy, or grabbed by the defensive guy. So there's a lot that the running back has to think about in order for this play to work close to perfection. And the Titans, they've had success on their screen plays to Derrick Henry all season. And I look for them to do it more now with the emergence of Treylon Burks and Chika Conquo. Those guys stretching the field. Everybody's running nines or post routes trying to clear everybody out, and that screen pass is going to come underneath to the running back.
It's funny you bring up Treylon Burks, because I saw let me find Jared's tweet, because Jared, the forever pessimist that he is, but I tend to agree with him on this. So let's see. Sam Palin tweets out, just because it's Titans-Eagles week, through his first seven career NFL games, Treylon Burks, 36 targets, 24 receptions, 334 yards. A.J. Brown, 31 targets, 20 receptions, 337 yards. Jared says, total cherry pick numbers. A.J. Brown played all 16 games of his rookie season, and six of the first seven were Mariota at quarterback. A.J. had 1,000 yards as a rookie and was a finalist for Offensive Rookie of the Year and was named the All-Rookie Team. I tend to agree with him that doesn't – just putting those numbers
– But we all do it. But we all do it.
Yeah, but
– We all cherry-picked it to put out our narrative.
Right.
Jared does it, and everybody else does it. Everybody does it.
Jared does it?
If they want to get a point across, everybody does it, but –
But to the point of the numbers, I think that should make you feel better about Treylon Burks. Now, he missed some time. Mm-hmm. Which, you obviously would like to have that back and wish he could have played all season. But when he got hurt, he was starting to really show some promise and make those plays like that. Then he came back and picked up pretty much where he left off. The first game back was a little rusty, but now you're really starting to see him make big plays. So I do think that's very promising. Promising? That's promising. Very promising.
Promising.
for Treylon Burks to be able to make plays like that.
They started right before he got injured. They started making a concerted effort to get him the ball. And that was after the third game of the season, somewhere around there. They started to get him the ball, and then he gets hurt. So you can only project, okay, what would he have done considering who we played? I think he would have put up good numbers against every team that he played. Because he missed, seven games somewhere around there?
Yeah.
Six, seven games? And in that span, the teams that they played, the Titans played, they didn't have great secondaries. They didn't. Not even Buffalo. Did he play in a Buffalo game? I think he might have played it. Yeah, he played in a Buffalo game. But they didn't have great secondaries. So, to me, if you target the kid, he's going. That's one thing I do like about Treylon Burks. And I know he had a, I think he had a drop this past game, but he seems like more of a natural catcher. He seems like more of a natural pass catcher his rookie year than I think A.J. Brown was. Now, A.J. Brown has since, you know, he's still going to drop his passes, but he looks more comfortable catching the football now. But his rookie year, he didn't, okay? And a lot of that probably had to do with nerves and just getting used to everything. But Treylon looks like a natural pass catcher so early in his career. And that's only going to help him moving forward. And that's why I say you can only project the numbers out to you know, the games that he missed. And he missed seven games, which I
was
can only.
Seven? Was it that many?
It was six because he had, six or seven games he missed.
Yeah, that's something.
So I'm only projecting over those six or seven games, he was going to catch at least four passes per game because they were going to start targeting him more. So anywhere from four to seven catches a game, he would have gotten.
Right.
That would have boosted his numbers. And he possibly could have been, from a number standpoint, at this juncture in the season, he could have been close to the numbers that A.J. Brown had. Because let's not make no mistake about it. A.J. Brown didn't have all his numbers were not consistent his rookie year. He would have a good game, and then he would disappear.
Right.
For whatever reason, it could have been they didn't target him. But he would have a great game and then disappear for three or four. And then have another one, then disappear again. I'm not blaming that all on A.J. Brown, but that was happening to him. That's what his trajectory was. He was going to have a good game and then a bad game, or a good game and then no game. So
he was going to be a rookie.
Basically. Exactly. That's basically what was going to be. He was a rookie. But to me, I just think that Treylon is more of a natural when it comes to catching the ball, which means that he's going to have more opportunities to catch, and he's going to have more catches moving forward.
Coming up next, we'll talk to Predators general manager David Poile. He will join us. We'll get his thoughts on everything that's been happening over the last few days with the arena and the Ducks tonight. That's all next. Chase Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 of the game. Chase Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 the game. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason, now joined here at the Jack Daniels Barrel House at Bridgestone Arena by Predators general manager David Poile. He joins us every Tuesday at 11:15, and he's been nice enough to come by in person. And David, I got to tell you, I mean, the fact that we're sitting in this building right now today, able to play a game tonight against the Anaheim Ducks is pretty remarkable. I know Sean Henry said that this morning, but it's awesome that we're here and able to play this tonight.
Yes, it is a bit unfortunate for sure what happened a few days ago, but remarkable in terms of all of the people that pitched in to get this to the place where we actually could play a game tonight. If you were here three or four days ago, you would be saying no chance. And it's remarkable. And yesterday, come into the office and you walk all through the building, they had over 1,000 fans. I don't mean hockey fans. I mean electrical fans.
Yeah.
And it was like a hurricane everywhere you went in the building to try to dry it out. But, you patch it together. I know, as Sean said, we're probably going to have some long-term, problems with, water is such a dangerous thing. It's just like the hurricanes they talk about down in Florida. It's the wind that we're watching, but at the end of the day, it's the water that kind of gets you. And, in carpets behind areas between walls that we can't get to right now, probably some electrical things. So, we skated this morning. Anaheim is going to skate this morning. We're just kind of making sure there's no other problems. And there's a lot of electrical things that we're kind of counting on that hopefully will work tonight. But all in all, it's great. And a lot of people need to be thanked a lot for their hours that they put in the last three or four days here at Bridgestone.
Now, how does that work with the league? Do you call them in the morning of, and do they have somebody to come out to assess it and say, hey, listen, y'all can play today, you can't play today, or you can't play this week, we need to reschedule, and when is the reschedule?
And who was that you that was communicating with the league?
Oh, in this case, it was actually Brian, my assistant, okay. Was doing it. He got the call at 6 o'clock in the morning. I believe my phone was still off at that point. So you had people like, Sean Henry, Brian, Brian and the team services, and, of course, more importantly, all of the building people were made aware right away. But the fact was the water main broke. It's in the middle of the night or early in the morning, and it takes a couple of hours before it was recognized and being able to be, shut off, and the damage was done then. So, yes, the league was made aware right away. There's officials, there's TV, there's radio, there's all sorts of, things that there are different people are in charge of, and we almost sort of have that list of things that happened.
I got a few calls myself.
Yeah, exactly. So, that then the ball gets rolling in again. So we have a 1 o'clock game, and it was apparent right from the get-go that, we couldn't play the game because the water was still kind of basically raining in, especially on the downstairs area by the ice or what have you. So then the next step goes, can we play on Saturday night there? And again, there was a lot of hope or thought that we could pull this off or what have you, but after a few hours that became very apparent that we couldn't do that. And then we had talked to Columbus, since we had a open building availability for Sunday. They did also. Would they play? We play, yes. Talked to the league about that, but we couldn't pull it off. And again, we're just was not realistic, though we tried. And you talked to everybody in the league, from Gary Bettman was involved in the situation. And basically on Sunday morning we told him that we would do everything we could to have a game on Tuesday, and he was happy to hear that.
David Poile is with us, Predators general manager. I say this, fortunately, unfortunately, the league and all of you have, gotten pretty good at this rescheduling thing with what we had the last 2 years. So how much did that maybe speed up this process of the fact that the league has kind of gone through this with COVID and everything we've battled the last 2 years, even though this was such a freak circumstance to have happened?
Well, the other person that's been involved is a schedule maker who we talked to like 20 times probably in the last three or four days to find out what the possibilities are. And isn't it interesting that three of the four clubs that went to Europe this year at the beginning of the season are affected by this, meaning that our schedule is more dense than the other teams because we had the break to go to Europe. So it's difficult. It's really, really hard. I mean, if you look at everybody's schedule, it looks like a checkerboard, meaning it's a game, day off, game, or what have you. And so to plug a game in, the best scenario you're going to get is a back-to-back, and then you're probably going to go from three games a week to four games in 6 days. And that's probably what's going to happen with our two games. We have agreed with what the dates would be. I think the schedule maker is talking to Colorado and Columbus now. I believe they will agree or eventually agree, but, that comes into back to our TV partners and things like that, whether that has affected the game that they were covering or changes it. And so a lot of dynamics go into it.
I'll give you radio time whenever you want.
Now, was there ever talks? And the only reason I'm bringing this up, because of what happened with the Buffalo Bills and the Cleveland Browns, I believe, in the NFL, where it snowed so much, they just picked up and said, hey, listen, we got to play this game. And I know their schedule, NFL schedule, is not as daunting as y'all's schedule is. Sure. But they picked up and they just moved it to Detroit.
Yeah.
Has there ever been talks of, hey, if we ever run into this situation again, we can pick up and just, instead of rescheduling and everything,
I guess Atlanta,
pick up and play it in a closer city?
Yeah, what that could have been eventually a situation. In this case, again, like use Columbus. Mm-hmm. We played in Columbus. If we hadn't played in Columbus, we probably could have gone that way and played there, say Sunday night, and then they could have caught up. We could have changed
just
that. Something like that. But the answer probably is just no to that. Like, we have our home games, and I'm not exactly sure how the NFL works on gate receipts and different things like that. But obviously, there had to be something worked out for Buffalo, not for losing a home game.
Exactly.
So,
let's talk about your team. Now, through all of this, you've been able to flush Detroit and what happened there, and before Thanksgiving. But we've seen some good things out of this team over the course of the last few weeks. What have you seen from your general manager eyes as you evaluate things, as you've got some young talent? Parsonen has been, that kid looks like an NHL player. He has really done well. But as you try and get that next gear, as now we're past the American Thanksgiving mark of the season.
Yeah, you're saying it right, to get that next gear. I think things are better. They're trending in the right direction. But we want and need more. Still, you know, the same thing. I mean, we need our better players to be our best players on a nightly basis. I think when that occurs, that will make a lot of things better. I mean, if you could just choose one thing, I would love for the power play to be better, because I think that would allow us to play with the lead more. That would allow everybody to play their role more. I mean, you could possibly put together, say, the herd line back together. That now has been broken up a little bit, and you know, when we have a lead, those guys can kind of play with abandonment and a little bit of havoc, very physical, you know, just things like that. So just improving in one area. I'm just choosing the power play as this really strong area, but you could choose something else, and we could just find another area to kind of put our arms around to, as we go into, like, it's could have been, it's what, 20 games now. We sort of go approximately 10 game segments, and these next 10 games or so, we just got to show some more improvement. We're below the line just by a little bit in terms of making the playoffs. Wish we had done better, but we have room for improvement, and
sure.
a lot of people at this point, unfortunately, are having a little bit off seasons, underperforming a little bit. If you remember last year, this time we were talking about everybody having exceeding expectations or what have you. So I know it's there. Nobody is comfortable. Nobody's happy. I mean, you make changes to, you know, to try to find solutions, spur on players. The Parsonen thing is looks like that's going to be a keeper, if you will. I mean, I don't see him going back to Milwaukee anytime soon. I mean, usually you bring up a younger player and he plays on the fourth line, limited minutes. Now here we got a guy who comes right in and he's playing the first line. I'm not saying that's where he should be, but that just shows you where our club is, and maybe that's a comment on some other guys that need to be better.
What are you seeing out of guys, specifically Glass and Tolvanen? They've both been in and out of the lineup. You're kind of seeing good things, bad things as you go, but when you evaluate those two specifically, where are you at?
Well, it's problematic. It's a fair question, and I certainly had hoped by now that they would be in our lineup on a more regular basis. But you know, it's like everybody else. Do they deserve it? Have we, in their side of it, do we have we given enough of an opportunity? I mean, Glass got a couple of games higher in the lineup and didn't do as well, and then he came out of the lineup. Now he's been back in the lineup in a little bit lower position. I think he's done pretty well. He's going to play again tonight. Tolvanen, and I don't think, is going to play tonight. So these are things that need to be dealt with, and I mean, and it's their responsibility too. I mean, they got to show us, the other players, the coaches, something that you can't help but put them into the lineup. And right now, and I'm not, you're just asking a question about Glass or Tolvanen, but if I'm the coach, it's too easy to take some of these guys out right now, and that's got to change.
We'll talk with David Poile, Nashville Predators GM. Now, David, you brought up the guys last year, the seasons that they were having. It was career seasons for a few of the guys. But as a GM, when you evaluate it after the season, you have to sort of think, hey, this may not happen again. So where should my expectation level be with those players?
Well, I don't see why it can't happen.
Yeah. You're right about that.
It's not that they're over the hill or too old or that we've changed the lineup so they're not playing with the same people. Now it's changed a little bit. That's why it's frustrating, you know, specifically like on the power play. It's the same five guys, but with different results. But again, if you were to have a split screen and look at how we were executing, moving the puck, where the shooting positions were and where they are today, it's different. And you would think that they would be able to change and adapt. And again, we have changed some of the things in the power play, and we have had a little bit more success lately. But the power play was a difference maker last year. And just repeating myself, and if we were in a position at least three games this year, if we could have got a power play goal, we would have won the game. You know, that's you know, how close it can be to turning things around. But you're right. I mean, everybody can't always have a career year, but others can.
Yeah.
And so you're always looking for younger players to get better, or your veteran players to keep their consistency. And right now, we're just, as I'm just saying, we have room to improve, and I feel it's going to come, but it just hasn't come on a consistent basis, and that's the frustrating place that we're in right now, is that we need to get that traction. We need to get the, you know, we got to get some wins more wins in a row. We need to beat a top team, like you know, like the Colorado that's kind of owned us last year, or Edmonton, something like that. We got to do that to make us feel good about ourselves. Or there's always going to be a defining moment or a turning point in the season, and I don't think we've gotten to that point yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in Anaheim tonight, I mean, this is a team that's, you know, bottom of the standings in the league, but those, to me, can be the most dangerous sometimes because, look, they're out playing the games too. They get paid, you know, to play these games too. But to me, these are the games that I call the ones that if you go out and do your job, they're confidence builders for you and help you get to where you want to go.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we played Arizona, and again, it was a game that I thought that we played well in, especially in the third period. But they get a late goal shorthanded. It's a mistake on our part. And then we go to overtime. We go to a shootout. I mean, it was a very draining and strainful game. And when I'm a fan someday, I'll say that was, wow, that was a fantastic game. But as a manager, that was a
like no,
that was a hard. But again, I'm sort of saying the same thing. It's there. You know, some individuals have to play a little bit better and more consistent. And when we do that, I think our team will come together. So by no means are we not believing that we have it there, but we need to see it, and we need to, you know, play at a more consistent basis to prove it to ourselves.
Let's end on a positive note. You, I think you've really hit on your backup goaltender and Kevin Lankinen, bringing him in as a free agent. How pleased have you been when he's in there, the job that he does, and you know, we've talked with you before about whether going back to Pekka or with Saros of just being able to maybe take a couple starts away just to preserve him down the line. Lankinen allows you to do that.
He does, and that's exactly the plan. But the plan was that we'd be a little bit better right now, and he could actually play maybe one or two more games. But, you know, you tend to go back to Juice, who's playing so well in the majority of the games, which he should. But to your point, Lankinen has done everything that we've asked for him. Every game that he's put in, he's played terrific. We haven't given him enough run support in a couple of games, but it's good to know in case we need to play him more or something happens to Saros, but to feel good about the goaltending. The goaltending certainly gives us a chance to win every game.
He is Predators General Manager David Poile, live with us here at Bridgestone Arena. The Predators take on the Ducks tonight. David, thanks as always. We'll talk next week.
Okay, guys. Appreciate it. Thank you.
More coming here. Chase Willie D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase Willie D-Mace. 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason here with you, Bridgestone Arena. It's all presented by Hair Club. Regrow your natural hair through non-surgical options that deliver impressive results. Hair Club, love your hair, live your life. Appreciate David Poile for joining us.
I need that, Chase.
I'll let you know how it goes. I mean,
I think I'm
starting
using
it.
David's mic, his old mic. It sounds better, though. I like this one.
Okay.
Sounds
well,
better.
Willie will need that at some point.
Yeah, I'm going to switch with Willie.
Okay,
I'm
that's
get
fine.
Willie that one.
Does send you sound deeper.
Yeah, so
Derek
so's
Mason.
Deep, so's deeper. No.
Oh, man. But Predators and Ducks later on tonight. So this is what I appreciate about David Poile. We can ask him, you know, direct questions, and I thought that's what I did, especially with Cody Glass and Ellie Tolvanen, and he'll give you a direct answer when you ask that, because quite frankly, you could, you know, see it in his face that there is a disappointment that those two guys, those are young players that they expected Tolvanen to be a goal scorer, expected you know, Glass to make an impact when they made that trade for him to get younger. You know, you're expecting more out of them, and you're not getting it. Here was David Poile when I asked him about Glass and Tolvanen.
Well, it's problematic. It's a fair question, and I certainly had hoped by now that they would be in our lineup on a more regular basis. But you know, it's like everybody else. Do they deserve it? Have we, and then their side of it, have we given them enough of an opportunity? I mean, Glass got a couple of games higher in the lineup and didn't do as well, and then he came out of the lineup. Now he's been back in the lineup in a little bit lower position. I think he's done pretty well. He's going to play again tonight. Tolvanen, and I don't think is going to play tonight. So these are things that need to be dealt with. And I mean, and it's their responsibility too. I mean, they got to show us, the other players, the coaches, something that you can't help but put them into the lineup. And right now, and I'm not you're just asking a question about Glass or Tolvin, but if I'm the coach, it's too easy to take some of these guys out right now, and that's got to change.
Yeah.
Man.
And he used the word problematic.
He can't be – I mean, I don't think he could have been more direct.
Yeah,
I mean, I agree. He was – listen, these guys are not playing well, and they were – this is why this guy wasn't in the lineup. You know, tonight in tonight's game, I think he said Tovanen is not in the lineup, right?
Yep.
So he's not in the lineup. So he's answering your questions, and they're questions that the fans want to answer too. You know, and then he spoke of, you know, hey, listen, the guys that played well last year, they need to play well this year, and they're not, and he's disappointed. So, you know, he can't get on here and scream and yell and, you know, point fingers at everybody, but he's answering the questions, I think, in a fashion that tells you, hey, listen, I don't accept what's going on out there.
Yeah.
And it needs to get better. But I believe it's going to get better. But if it doesn't, then we are going to make changes. And listen, it shouldn't be easy for the coach to remove guys from the lineup. It shouldn't be easy. If that's the case, then, you know, I shouldn't even, you know, have you on the team if it's that easy to replace you, like move you off the lineup for a night or two in hopes that you come back and start playing well. Those decisions need to be hard to make. And obviously, judging by what David said, they're, you know, it's not at that point yet.
Yeah, and I think what's so frustrating, confusing, you know, all those things about this is, you have some guys that they answer the bell, you know, like Parsonen, that he got his opportunity and he's running with it. And I'm not saying that Glass and Tolvanen aren't working hard. I don't think it's that at all. It just, for whatever reason, it's not working. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just something's not fitting. And what I'm afraid is probably going to happen is very similar to Kevin Fiala. Kevin Fiala was a hot and cold player with this team. And ultimately they decided, you know what, it's just not working. He probably needs a change of scenery. We need something different.
Mm-hmm.
And they made the trade for Mikael Granlund, and it took Granlund basically a coaching change to finally take on. He didn't really work under Peter Laviolette's system. But Fiala goes to Minnesota and just balls out. I'm afraid that's probably what's going to happen with Tolvanen. Glass, I don't know. But I think that eventually it could get to that point.
You think it's the style of play that could
maybe
be bothering him some?
Well, and I almost think that the coaching's worked too well for Tolvanen. And here's what I mean by that. They needed him to play more of a physical game. They needed him to do things, you know, in the other areas when he didn't have the puck. And there's been times where he's gotten much, much better at that. But it's almost like he got good at that and then he forgot how to score. And that's kind of the problem.
He's put more emphasis to the things that they pointed out to him, his flaws. So now instead of, you know, balancing that and knowing how to work on your flaws, but yet and still know, you know, but yet and still working and maintaining your strength. Well, he hasn't figured that out. And he's a young player, and maybe he will figure it out moving forward. But sometimes, you know, and I've seen this before in my sport where, you know, you get a young player and you tell him he's not doing this. Like, you need to get better at this. You need to get better at this. And they work on that so much and they neglect the strengths that they have. And then all of a sudden you put him in a situation. Yeah, he's gotten better at this, but he's this over here, his play is declining in this area. How can we balance the two out? Yeah, working on your problem areas, but still having the awareness that, hey, I got to go out and also work on my strength as well. Because if I just sit here and work on this problem area and don't consistently address my strength, then it's going to get off balance. That's just what's going to happen. And it seems like that's what's happening to Tolvanen. It's like, okay, you wanted me to do this. I'm starting to do this better. But I may have neglected the reason why I'm here,
right?
You know, and that's the score goals.
Coming up next, Willie will be joining us. We'll get his thoughts from morning skate and also get some of his thoughts on some of the things that David Poile said in our interview. We'll do that coming up next. But Hair Club has come on board as a sponsor of this show, and I'm going to be working with them because, look, the lettuce needs some work. It does. Got some power outages. But with their extreme hair therapy, they can maximize regrowth results while reducing further hair loss in just minutes a day. Regrow the hair you love with EXT. Add strength and volume while reducing further hair loss with their comprehensive program that combines Hair Club's salon services with at-home products to maximize growth results. They'll assess your hair. You go in for an assessment and get a free 10-point hair health checkup that includes a detailed analysis of your current hair health so they can customize your treatment. Then, once a month, you have check-ins with in-center services where they'll give you a haircut and have personalized treatments as well. And then you have an at-home system where you regrow and slow further hair loss with Hair Club's five-step system that includes shampoo, cleanser, conditioner, supplements, and a rejuvenator formulated with FDA-approved minoxidil. Hair regrowth devices that you'll have with you. It's an easy process. This is what you need to do. Just go visit them in Brentwood. It's in Building 4 of the City Park development on Franklin Road, just south of Old Hickory Boulevard. You'll easily find the entrances with parking on both the south and north sides of the building. It's 278 Franklin Road, Synergy Business Park Building 4, Suite 250, Brentwood, Tennessee, 37027. Give them a call at 615-200-6601. That's 200-6601. That's Hair Club.
We need our better players to be our best players on a nightly basis. I think when that occurs, that will make a lot of things better. I mean, if you could just choose one thing, I would love for the power play to be better, because I think that would allow us to play with the lead more. That would allow everybody to play their role more. I mean, you could possibly put together, say, the herd line back together that now has been broken up a little bit. And, you know, when we have a lead, those guys can kind of play with abandonment, and a little bit of havoc, very physical, you know, just things like that. So
David Poile, a little hysteria. I love it. There we go.
David Poile with Def Leppard in the background.
Oh, that was fantastic.
Is there anything better?
That was fantastic. Well done, Nick. This is a great song. It's my favorite Def Leppard song. Chase, Willie, D-Mace, Chase McCabe. Willie Donick has joined us. Derek Mason at Bridgestone Arena. Morning Skate has wrapped up. And we were just talking about this. We had a really good conversation with David Poile about, you know, I asked him directly about Tolvanen and Glass. And he had mentioned Tolvanen would likely not be in tonight. Glass is, as John Hines puts the lines together. You know, they've had a long break now, not planned, but that's what they've had. But, you know, you can tell that he's disappointed with kind of how things have been very inconsistent for those two. I think Tolvanen especially is a guy that they've invested a lot of time into the last few years.
Yeah, I mean, he's a first-round pick that had so much promise, and they have been patient with him, I think. And I don't think you can look back and say he hasn't had opportunities. I think he's had tons of opportunities to jump up and grab a bigger role. For whatever reason, it hasn't really happened. Cody Glass is getting to that point. I think if you take a look at Cody Glass's underlying numbers, the analytic numbers, they're not bad, especially when he plays in the fourth line. Now, long-term, Is he a guy that you want ideally to be a fourth line center? No, he's got a skill set that you hope will play up higher, but you've got to start by contributing and scoring in that role. I mean, he's going to get some power play time again tonight, I think. And there's another area where you just heard David Poile say they need some help. You know, the second power play unit, it would be great if they could step up and score a goal here and there. So these are all areas why you're taking a look at a team that is right at 500. 500 is not going to get in the playoffs. You've got to be over 500 to get in there. So what does this team need? They've had excellent goaltending for the most part. UC Soros had a slump earlier. I think he's coming around. He has come around. Lankinen has been very solid every time they put him out there. But the game in Detroit is a good example. I thought they did a lot of good things. But at the end of the day, you've got to find playmakers. The playmakers have to score when you have opportunities. And you do have to credit the other goalie. Ville Husso was very good. But by and large, if you look at the first 20 games, they haven't scored enough goals. So there's a couple layers to that. Some of the top players have to be better. They have to carry the team a little bit more. You've got to get a little bit more complimentary scoring from the bottom guys. You got to have guys chip in a little bit more. And then finally, as you heard David Poile, I couldn't agree more. The power play has to be more of a force.
Yes.
You've got to have consistent play from your power play in this day and age in the NHL.
Now, what is the difference from this year's power play to last year's power play? It's not like, you know, you have you get a bunch of new faces, new coach, you know, or whatnot. This is the same group of guys running a power play. So why hasn't it gotten started yet this season?
That is a great question, and I do think that that's what they are wrestling with a lot down there. If you take a look, they went through a stretch where they split up the five guys that were money last year. They had a great power play last year. They were in the top 10. It's one of the reasons why they outperformed expectations is because their power play was so good. This year they started 1-for-26. So that put them in a hole that is hard to dig out of for the course of the season. It's been better since then. I was actually doing the numbers down there in our meeting this morning. They're 12-for-52 since they started 1-for-26. Now that 1-for-26, it counts, right?
Wow.
So they're 27th overall, but they're 23% since then. So it's shown the arrow is pointing
better.
Up. Yeah, steadily. But it still isn't the force that it's going to need to be. Like, in other words, if you look at the underlying numbers, they're not getting the scoring chances consistently that they need to get from the power play. And so I think there's a lot of upside there if they can just start clicking. They've put the five guys back together, and hopefully they can start getting some of that chemistry and get hot. Because when your power play is a four, there's a mental thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
There is a penalty on the other team. We're going on the power play. We are going to score. We are all over them right here. And if you don't score, boy, it's going to take everything you've got to stop our power play. I think they got to that point last year.
Yeah.
But then the opposite can be true as well. Penalty on the other guys. Oh, boy, our power play has struggled.
Mm-hmm.
Can we get a goal here? Boy, now I'd love for our power play to get going. I think they've sort of been in that mode a little bit. But it just takes a couple of hot games, and all of a sudden you start feeling good. And you get on that roll again.
Right.
They've got the ability to do it.
I just feel like and this goes back to Peter Laviolette. We, you know, last year they were the seventh-ranked power play, and we keep going back to this of, oh, the power play can't get going. I mean, they've done things. They've moved personnel around. I mean, Dan Lambert was hired to help the power play. I mean, they've done all these things, and last year was great, and then we've come back to like it was the few years before. They just can't seem to get anything going, and I just don't understand that.
Yeah, it's a very strange thing, and it's not just a Nashville thing. I think if you look from year to year, there are a few power plays. Edmonton comes to mind, Tampa comes to mind, that seem to be great every year. But there's always a handful of power plays that run hot and cold. Like Arizona came through here. I would have thought, okay, probably the last, you know, probably 27th, 28th. They were top 10. So there's a little something, like it goes beyond just the personnel. You've got to work hard. You've got to do your homework on the tendencies of the other team.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to make sure you keep your feet moving. There's a lot of little things. You've got to have great attention to detail as you're bringing the puck up the ice. You got to be sharp to get in and get set up. So there's a lot of things. If you look at the game against Detroit, there was a pivotal moment in that game where they're down 1-0, but they've played really well. They get a 5-on-3 for a minute 37. You've got to score there.
Yes.
You've just got to find a way to score there. I know the goalie's good, and look, you got to tip your hat. The guy, it's not like they didn't get any shots. They got 5 or 6 shots and pretty quality looks, but it didn't go in. And so what happens? You get a little deflated feeling on the bench. Next thing you know, Detroit goes on the power play. Boom. They're all over the Predators. They score. It's 2-0, and the game has a totally different feel. If you get a 5-on-3 goal and that game is tied 1-1, it's totally different, I think, as far as where you sit mentally in the game. But that's just one example of I think, where this team has to improve to get where they want to go.
Coming up next, we'll talk to ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck. He will join us for his weekly visit. But first, Willie, you have a word on Lee Company.
All right, let's talk Lee Company. And Hey, Lee Company specializes in a lot of things, and it's sort of in the department of what has been going on in our building here. Lee Company is a big, big sponsor of our Predators coverage. We're here at Barrel House. It's looking good, and they will be the title sponsor of our pregame show that starts at 6 o'clock with Max Herz. We'll be putting together the pregame show tonight. He'll be telling you about all of the great work behind the scenes that all of the workers did to get this building ready to play tonight. It easily could have been shut down for weeks here. The Predators after tonight do go on the road. They have some road games coming up. But in the meantime, if you need some help from Lee Company, they're ready at all times at 615-567-1000 or go to leecompany.com. General maintenance is in their portfolio. You just need some work done at your house. You got a little damage with something here or there, or some wear and tear. They can help you with it. 615-567-1000 or leecompany.com. And don't forget, heating, cooling, plumbing, electric, that's also a specialty of theirs. Give them a call when you need them. Lee Company, proud sponsor of the Nashville Predators. Let their decades of expertise go to work for you.